Hey everyone, normally we do our ad in the middle of the episode, but this time around we are putting it in the beginning. We do not have a good place to put it in this episode as it was all about retro games and not enough of a break to put it in. With that said, we hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did making it. Let's take a minute and talk about how great Slumberyard Handcrafted is. Josh is a local woodworker in the Rockford area that specializes in farmhouse, rustic, pallet wood, and reclaimed barnwood styles. He makes custom wood furniture and custom woodworks, which include dining tables, patio tables, bed frames, headboards, coffee tables, end tables, and cutting boards. Not only does he make nude wood pieces, but he also offers furniture restoration and even repairs broken heirloom items. You've heard us talk about him numerous times, and we cannot stress how great his work is. Please do yourself a favor and visit his website, www.slumberyardhandcrafted.com, and while you're at it, follow his Instagram at slumberyardhandcrafted, where you will see photos and videos of the work that he's done, but you'll also be able to attend his weekly live stream, which occurs on Tuesdays. This is also the best place to view when he does giveaways, and if you are as lucky as I am, you could win one of these fantastic items. With that said, please enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome to the 10th episode of Come Get Your Podcast.
Yes.
Have that ready and primed.
And that's the end of the podcast. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Come Get Your Podcast. I've been your host, Adam.
I am your host, Dustin.
And I am your host, Chris.
Listen to next time to episode 11. Anyway, how's it going, guys?
It's going good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. We just started using Discord to record our stuff and found the text-to-speech option. Been fucking around for the past half hour or so instead of working.
Yeah, I had to keep telling Katie, like, we're going to start in like 10 minutes. Okay, it's going to be another 20 to 30 while we fuck around with this.
Misty's been putting together our anniversary present for the past hour or so, and probably thinks we're about done recording
by now. Oh my god.
And I haven't told her the truth on what's actually happening.
Oh man.
She'll find out.
When she listens to this, she'll know. She'll know. Or when she barges in here, she'll know.
That'll be great.
That'll be our guest podcast host.
Yeah, there we go.
Her yelling at you to get off the computer.
Pretty much, because we have a nice little Saturday planned, apparently.
Bed Bath & Beyond?
Hit the Home Depot.
Maybe if you have time.
If we have time, we'll see. You know, it'll be a nice, tight little Saturday. Gross.
Toit.
That grossed me out, saying that. And it's about a day. I don't know. Oh, it stopped raining. That's nice.
I mean, I'm glad that it stopped raining, so maybe now my house will stop leaking. So that's
true. Oh, yeah, that's very true. Dustin found out his house leaks about an hour ago.
Yep. Just saw the carpet was a little damp the last few days in the dining room. Was wondering why and where that was coming from, and we figured it out today. So,
well, it sounds like you have some patchwork in your future.
Yeah, we have somebody coming out to look at the roof and everything.
That's
next
good.
Week, so hoping maybe the insurance can cover that, because they asked for an estimate. They're like, do you think it's, you know, going to be less than $2,500 or more than $10,000? It's like, well, if you have to replace our roof, it's going to be more than $10,000. If you just need to replace the carpet, less than $2,500. So I guess I don't know. I don't know. You guys have to come out and look at it. That's the whole point.
That roof shouldn't cost more than 10 grand.
I'm hoping it's not one of those things where it's like, well, we may have to replace part of your roof. We found a part of our shingles in the back of the house were coming off from a storm. And hopefully it's not caused from the tree above our house, because then maybe we might have to cut that down. So,
okay, that adds up.
Yeah, collectively I was like, this could get expensive, so maybe just come out and look at it, because,
well,
I don't know.
It's not like you have a wedding to pay for in June. Oh, wait.
No, there's nothing, you know, that's going to strap me for cash.
You have to postpone the wedding.
So you can, well, just take all the money you get from your wedding and just put it literally into the house.
Yeah, oh, God. That's where I feel it's going to happen, but
there's always money in the banana stand, Michael.
There's always money in the banana stand.
No, there's literally money in the banana stand. No,
you idiot. No touching. All right.
But other than that, yeah, no, I've been good. I've been doing good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I mean, even besides that, I think I'm still doing good. Somebody's going to come out and look at it. It'll get figured out, so
yeah,
I'm not worried about it.
It's not in your hands really anymore, so.
No, I'm just glad we...
Relax a little.
Yeah, I'm glad we figured it out, and we have a bucket catching the water now, so. And it's a slow drip, so it's not the end of the world.
You did also find out your dog likes to drink piss out of the toilet.
Wait, what?
Well...
This is news.
Yeah, that's never happened to me. Because I pee and then immediately flush, but Katie apparently needed to call.
Lets it mellow, huh?
Yeah. She apparently she's been just running under that old adage. So Harley was just recycling that too. I guess that's the first time she's done that. So
gross! Your dog is never licking my face ever.
Well, she also eats her own shit. So
I mean, yeah,
Katie, that is not Harley.
Right.
I mean.
Obviously.
If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, chomp it down. Is that something?
Oh.
I think that's the verbiage.
Yeah, so.
It is now.
No, yeah. Harley's been getting bigger and bigger. She's a seven-month-old, 50-pound puppy, so.
Jesus.
She's big.
Oh, my God.
She's big now.
She's going to be real big.
You guys haven't seen her in a while. She is no. big.
Yeah, last time I saw her, actually, she was still new, I think. I think you only had her for a few weeks at that point. So, Jesus, yeah, that dog's massive.
She is a dog. This puppy is a dog now, so. But she, I mean, honestly, besides the drinking out of the toilet, she's actually gotten better, so.
Well, that's good. You have the doggy classes and everything, so.
Yep, next Tuesday, this coming up Tuesday, is going to be the last one of her second round of puppy classes, so
she
does a good job with healing and sitting and staying. And
is there going to be a round three?
There is. I think we might take a little bit of a break from it, though, just because we're our busy schedules. So taking an hour and a half to 2 hours out of every Tuesday afternoon to drive there and figure all that crap out with overtime and Katie working two jobs and. It's like we might need just a little bit of a break from driving her to puppy class, so we'll see where that goes.
Don't postpone her education, okay?
Seriously, you got to think about the dog.
She's got to get a puppy job. Is what she needs to
selfish.
Do.
Selfish.
She gonna pay puppy dog rent soon?
She better.
Well, I mean, she's trying to save you from flushing your toilets, which costs money. So.
Yeah, that's a water bill.
That is true.
She's. Possibly paying her way.
But with the water coming into the house, we've got more water than we can handle, so hopefully she'll just drink it out of
that
bucket. Yeah, we have a surplus of water in our house.
No, you don't want her to drink too much because she's dumb and drinks a lot.
Yeah, I have to yell at her to take a break when she's drinking her water.
She doesn't throw up everywhere.
Yeah, which she has been known to do.
Dogs are dumb.
That's the thing. It's so, you know what? I think she's just an asshole is what she is. Because she'll do things where you're like, dog, you are just stupid. And then we have like a baby gate going into the kitchen to keep her out of the kitchen and dining room. Mm-hmm. She can open it if we don't completely lock it. Just to get back to eat Izzy's food, you know, and get in the kitchen and do that. So like this dog is smart. She's just a dick.
I was watching the Bears game at my friend's house, and they have a small dog, and it doesn't pee. It's a boy dog, so it doesn't pee, like, lift its leg up or anything. Apparently, it pees while just walking.
Yeah. That's a dog thing.
Yeah, he's while walking. This dog was just peeing. He peed in their house on the hardwood floor, just walking through their kitchen and everything. And I was like, I have never seen that before.
At least it's hardwood floor, not carpeting.
But other than that, you know, man, played a couple of some of the Super Nintendo.
I was gonna say this is we promised a nostalgia episode, and you've been holding up your end of the bargain for sure this past week.
That I have. So I've been playing a lot of Super Nintendo. I got it last Tuesday.
The mini SNES, right?
Not yes, the, yeah, the okay. mini the mini SNES, and it's fun. So
what's the first game? Because I remember last episode we were asking you what game you were going to start with. What game did you end up starting with?
I started with, just to see how it plays, I started with Super Mario World.
Yeah, classic. That's a good choice. That's a good choice.
But as far as a game, I was playing part Super Mario RPG, and nice. I was also dividing my time with Legend of Zelda. Legend of Zelda took over because I love that game.
Yeah,
and sure. I beat that, so that's the first game I have beaten. Right now, I'm in between, I started Secret of Mana.
Yes.
So, Super Mario RPG and Secret of Mana. The in-betweens I was playing Super Mario World earlier when we had joined our Skype conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I played some Star Fox. I played a little bit of everything, honestly, in it. So, I have dabbled in many of it. Star Fox is hard. I forgot how hard it was. Star Fox 2 is not nearly as hard, but it is more fun, I feel.
Really?
Yes. It's pretty good. IGN can suck it because they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, that goes for most things.
Yes.
In my opinion.
I tried Mega Man, and god damn, it's hard. It's just Mega Man X.
Okay.
And that shit's hard.
Yeah, that one's supposed to be hard.
It's kind of like relentless, almost, in ways, you know, and how like what you're supposed to do. So we'll figure that out probably eventually. But it's been really fun.
I actually got, not too long ago, there was a website that someone put up that had, so you know Super Mario Maker for the Wii U?
Yeah.
Someone did that, but for Mega Man. And it was...
Didn't it get shut down?
It did. I nabbed it before it was actually shut down.
Fuck yeah.
And I've been meaning to try that, because that sounds like fun. I wasn't a huge Mega Man fan growing up, but I did... usually rent one of the first three ones for NES all the time for some reason.
Well, I didn't ever play any of the Mega Mans, you know, from Nintendo or Super Nintendo, really. The first Mega Man I ever played was, like, Game Boy Advance Mega Man Battle Network, which is, like, an RPG.
Never even heard of it.
And it's
pretty, I haven't either.
It's pretty fun, actually. And then I played Mega Man 9 when they introduced that on PS4. Or PS3, whichever it was, and that was a lot of fun. And I got pretty far into that. I got to like the I didn't remember beat it, but I got to like the last like Wily's castle or whatever.
Dr. But it was Wily.
Yeah, Dr. Wily, and that shit's hard. You know, it really is. Like,
I mean, Mega Man's kind of touted itself on its difficulty.
Yeah, well, it goes to show like how old games used to be, how challenging they were compared to like new games. And people are like, Dark Souls is super hard. I'm like, you're probably right, but fuck, play Mega Man.
It's a different kind of hard, because, I mean, a few months ago I beat Dark Souls 3. It didn't take me that long. Granted, I had a guide just to, like, it's hard. Okay, it's hard because if you don't have a guide with you, or you're actively reading or watching, and you don't know and you're what to do specifically, it could be a little difficult. It could take some time because you really just have to pay attention to dialogue or like descriptions of items you find.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like a Mega Man or the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on the NES. That's just straight up hard.
Yes.
Because of bullshit jumps or
action and well, like just, even Secret of Mana, like playing that, like it's I didn't know what some of the items were. I guess, like, the candy. And I'm like, that probably heals me. I'm guessing that the medicinal herb, oh, that probably it takes my poison off. But there's nothing that describes what these items do.
Yeah.
So I'm just really guessing.
I'm really looking forward to seeing, because they're supposed to be re-releasing Secret of Mana on Switch and then PS4 and probably Xbox as well coming up pretty soon. And as I've said before, it's one of my favorite games from Super Nintendo, so I'm super excited. But you already have it.
I've never played Secrets of Mana, so I think I'm gonna maybe check it out on PS4 when it comes out.
Well, and it's a two-player RPG.
Ah, it's a four-player RPG.
So we could all play that together, probably.
Probably. We'll see. I don't know if they'll have it'll just be strictly local, or if you can have online, which would be great. But on the Super Nintendo, if you had the adapter thing, you could have four players playing all at the same time.
Wow.
I'd be interested in that. Have you checked out...
A lot of fun.
Have you checked out Castlevania at all? Because that's always a game that I've associated with being... Not only is it old, but it's hard. Super hard.
I did play Castlevania, and I think I I was misunderstanding the one from Super Nintendo as the one that came out for PlayStation for some reason. Like, I thought that was the one you played as Alucard.
Oh, and it's not. No.
So I did play it, and... It's hard. You know, I beat the first boss in it, but then I didn't play further. I've never been a huge Castlevania person, so...
The mini SNES doesn't have Super Star Wars on it, does it?
No, it does not. I wish.
Okay. But that's another game. It's just straight up difficult at a lot of sections.
But speaking back on Secret of Mana for the remake, it will have online multiplayer for three people.
Hey, all right.
That sounds like a perfect opportunity to get the fire team back together. Not that we've ever left the fire team.
Never leave it.
No, just never to branch out into another game.
It transfers to different games.
Sure.
But the Super Nintendo is... The mini SNES is a lot of fun.
Good.
I don't like the fact that I can't make it full screen. Like, you're playing 4x3. No matter what.
Really?
So it's a little bit of a meh, you know, but you, as you're playing, you just get past it, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. I would say it has, because it's 4x3, I think you can change the sides, right? Is that okay?
I can change the borders on the side, yeah. That's what I mean, things. Yeah. So, like, I tried to play Kirby the other day, and I never played a Kirby game before.
Kirby's hard, too.
It wasn't difficult until I got to the King Dedede boss, and I'm like, how the fuck do I beat this guy? I can't attack him, so I guess I then learned that I can take people's moves, so then I go outside before I go into the boss, I take someone's moves, I still couldn't beat him, I'm like, well, fuck this. So, we'll see how that goes.
There is a game for the original Game Boy called Kirby's Pinball.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what it sounds like. You're a Kirby, and Kirby is the ball. but there's also, like... traditional Kirby elements in it where you take people's powers and that does different shit. And I played the hell out of that game when I was a kid and I really want to play it again.
Well, it came out... Now. This also came with Kirby Dream Course, which I guess is a golf game.
Oh.
And I didn't know what it was. I thought like there was like a Kirby like All-Star pack and it said three games in one. So I figured that was like the mini game stuff and Kirby Dream Course was the actual game. No, I was wrong.
You're learning so much.
I was wrong about that. But I played a little Street Fighter. I haven't played I haven't tried Earthbound. If I've tried Earthbound, I gotta get into it. It's an RPG and it's apparently one of the best ever made, so I'll get to that eventually. But like Super Ghouls and Ghosts, I heard that's super hard. Haven't played it.
Say, our friends Colin and Brad have been playing Super Ghouls and Ghosts, and it's stupid difficult.
I heard it's so hard. F-Zero, fun racing game. I play like one level, and that seems like it'll be fun. And going into this point, man, so much good music in these games.
Mm-hmm.
Like it really like playing Star Fox. I was playing it with me and Dustin on Skype once, and I was just like amazed at how good Star Fox music is.
It's solid.
And I was making him listen to it. I'm like, listen to this. It's so good.
Yeah, no, it sounded great. I kind of missed those old soundtracks while you were playing.
The 8-bit or 16-bit.
Yeah, I just missed those.
Chiptunes.
I also feel like most of these older games were a lot harder than... They were more difficult than the newer games. But maybe that's just based off of the games we're currently playing. And I don't know, because...
Well, I think Clark said it's kind of like a different version of difficulty.
Sure.
You know, now is more strategy-based, you know, learning more about the game.
Or... I mean, now, like, not right now, or actually for the past 6-7 years, it's been, oh, games are hard, and everyone just defaults to Dark Souls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is true. I mean, but there's also a billion other games that are out there that are also difficult as well.
Maybe,
but...
like, look at Cuphead now.
That just came out. Oh, yeah, Cuphead just came out. I haven't played it yet. I really want to.
But that looks like old school hard to me.
It's supposed to be. I mean, I think that's kind of what it was marketed as, because obviously it's a 2D side-scroller platformer.
Yeah. And I see a lot of people online like streaming that. And it looks difficult based on what I was watching. But it looked fun at the same time, you know? But I don't know. We'll see. It's not that expensive. I think it's like $20.
Yeah, it's $20 or $30.
So, I mean, maybe. We'll see.
It's a game that's coming that, you know, down the line I'll try out.
Well, and even with Chris and I playing Divinity Original Sin 2, that at times that game can be easy, and at times that game can be downright impossible, or feel impossible.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So it's just trial and error until you beat it. So, I mean, yeah, maybe, but I just feel like some of these older games were just... classically difficult, like they were, but maybe that's just because you were playing by yourself and you weren't co-opt and completely different play styles. I'm not sure what makes that difference.
I mean, honestly, one of my biggest gaming achievements as a child when I was like 9 or 10 was I beat the original Ninja Turtles game on NES, and either there's one jump in particular that always troubled people and took me honestly probably like a year or two to consistently be able to do it.
Yeah.
And then also any of the underwater levels, which like that's when water levels fucking sucked for some reason. All of them, didn't matter what game, if there was a water level, everyone's like, oh god, no. And I mean, and even now it's like, oh good, a water level, although it's usually ice now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe it's a part of being patient too,
maybe.
You know, because, like, now, imagine if we were trying to do the raid in Destiny 2. Like, I would not spend a year and a half trying to get to the point where it's like, we could beat this one part perfectly. I'd be like, fuck it, I'm done.
Well, yeah. And also, I think, like, older games then, like, right now, a game you could play online or single player or anything, like, we could look up guides or strategies. Sure. Like, then, if you didn't have a Nintendo Power or a strategy guide that you were going to buy, you're kind of out of luck, you know?
Just had to do it on your own, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's true. That is true.
I got a Game Genie for the NES when I was 6 or 7, and I had severely broken my ankle, so I was laid up in bed for, like, 6 months. Not a lot I could do. Like, couldn't even go to school because... it was that bad. Jesus. And so I played a lot of Nintendo, and I think honestly that's partially where the Super, or not the Super, sorry, the Ninja Turtles game, like, I had nothing else to do
yeah
but learn how to get past a jump.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember getting a Game Genie, and it came with a book that was probably like an inch thick, and it just had every code for every game imaginable at that time. And that helped me get through a lot of stuff, just because otherwise, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could have gotten past like a Battletoads without some help at that time.
Oh my god, Battletoads is almost impossible. I've never beaten Battletoads. Well,
Battletoads is doable single player, but play co-op Battletoads where you hit each other, friendly fire is on.
Yep.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and they're giving this to, like, you know, 10-year-olds who don't know what that means. So everyone's dying constantly.
But I still think about Battletoads as one of my favorite games that I have ever played as a kid growing up, just because it was so difficult and fun.
It was stupid hard.
It was really hard.
Yeah. But that was classic games at that point. You know, they were hard, and you just kept playing them over and over and over. You know, like, mm-hmm. I remember for Sega Genesis, because I was a Sega Genesis kid, there was a game, Maximum Carnage, which is Spider-Man and Venom. And it was just like a Spider-Man beat-em-up game. But it was so hard. But I was Spider-Man, so I was going to play that shit. And well, I don't think I've beaten that game to this day.
There are a lot of games I haven't beaten to this day from that era. And I never will, because, I mean, it's a hassle to go back to them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, you do ROMs and everything. And I think I played a lot of, like, Game Boy Advance games through ROMs. I never had a Game Boy Advance, so I played, you know, like, the Metroid games and the Mega Man Battle Network that you guys don't know about.
No.
But, you know, being a Sega Genesis kid growing up, that there was a plethora of games that I was about.
I'm sorry, what was that?
A plethora?
Plethora?
Fuck you guys.
There's a plethora.
That's
sounds like part of an insect.
I mean, maybe it was. You know?
Could have been. You never know.
You know what the fuck I meant.
Have you played any of the Donkey Kongs?
I was playing it a little bit when I was on Skype with you. I had started it. The first Donkey Kong Country is the only one on the mini SNES.
No, that's really the only one that matters. The second one's pretty good, but that's a game Misty and I still play every once in a while because she still has her original SNES.
That game starts easy.
And then it ramps the fuck up.
Dude, once you get to those minecart levels and... Oh my god.
I'm assuming it's a no. Did either of you watch the Nintendo World Championships the other day?
No.
No. Okay.
There was a part of it where, as a competition, they had six people ranging from 12, 13, probably to low 20s, play a minecart level from Donkey Kong Country. On the Wii. And my god, these kids couldn't figure out how to jump. Like, it took 12, 15 minutes of six people constantly going, because the objective was they wanted somebody to finish. I want to say it took about 20, 30 minutes total for somebody to beat a level.
Isn't that funny, though, the skill range level? Like, those kids could probably be great at, like, Overwatch, Call of Duty, Counter-Strike, but as simple as, like, what we think is simple as a minecart jumping.
Just a side-scroller.
Yeah, like, oh, man.
It was embarrassing for them, but I was the one doing it. Now, and who knows, maybe it's, if I was in that situation, pressure and all that stuff, being on a national stage, yeah, I'd probably suck too. But just, my God, like, it seemed they're just throwing themselves into the gauntlet, more or less, and constantly failing and not learning from their mistakes until way too late.
Ugh. Were you getting angry while watching it? Like, these goddamn kids.
Yeah, pretty much. I it was blowing my mind. I've seen a couple people release cuts of them also watching it on YouTube and just, like, constantly head in hands, just
it's like
a lot of sighing.
It's like, I just want to grab the controller and do this for you.
Let me help you.
I could do it.
It's just, you jump different heights the longer you hold the button, guys. Like, it's pretty standard. Or it should be. Who's to say? It should be standard.
I mean, it makes sense to us, but we've played these games so many times. It's like, this just makes so much sense to us.
The very first game I ever played was Super Mario on NES. So, like, you know, that's a thing. Mm-hmm. Holding the A button down to jump different heights is a thing, and has been pretty much the standard if there's a jump mechanic in any game.
Yeah.
Well, that you say, like, the jumping and holding A and pressing A, do you guys ever watch that YouTube video of the guy with Super Mario 64 where how he goes about, like, the difference of jumping and holding jumps and everything, and how he can go through this level Man, I'd have to find it for you guys, but it's very, it's kind of long, but it's very interesting.
Just from, it's all about jumping?
It's all about how Super Mario has essentially parallel universes in the game, and how the game remembers where certain monsters are, and if you do it a certain way, this monster will then now be here instead of where it's where it should be when it spawns, and it's so interesting, and how like the math and everything is done with this.
I've watched people do speed runs of Mario 64, where because of a certain way they jump or do like a long jump, they basically break the game and teleport themselves. So that sounds similar to what
you're
talking
about. It's very similar, yeah.
Okay. Because I've seen people beat the game, quote-unquote, because they break it through different jumps and where they're jumping in certain levels. Like, the very first level you get into in the castle, like, if they run to a certain spot and then do, like, you know, a long jump, but they're going into a wall, basically it breaks the game code, and then all of a sudden they're on top of a mountain getting a star and then teleport out, and somehow they're in the next world painting thing. Like, it's bananas.
Yeah, it's not so much of, like, it is like kind of like breaking the game, but it's not for, I don't think he does it for speedrun purposes. Like, he actually does the math while in the YouTube video and shows, like,
interesting
how these jumps are affected and how if you do it this way and what it does for you and the cause and effect. Like, it's full-on nerd, like, super nerd, but it's very interesting.
Super Nerd 64.
Have you ever seen the speed run of the kid doing the just Super Mario Brothers, the first one?
I don't think so.
He beats the entire game from beginning to end in, I think, under 5 minutes.
Yeah, I did see that, actually.
Yeah, it's like 4 minutes and like 48 seconds, and he just beats the whole game. And you sit there just watching this video like, how? I've spent hours, so many hours playing this game as a kid. Like,
never figured that out.
You beat it in under 5 minutes.
It blew my mind when I figured out how on certain levels, if a turtle is coming down like a set of blocks, like stairs, and if you hit the jump just right, you could get infinite lives. Did you ever do that?
No, I don't think I ever figured that out.
Oh, God. One of the, it's either the third or fourth world. There's a point you come up to where there's a bunch of blocks that are stairs, basically. And there's a green turtle coming down them. And if you hit the turtle just right, you push it into the block, so it bounces back to you. But like, if you time the jump right, you basically just keep hopping on the turtle, never touching the ground, and you can get infinite lives.
Oh, I do kind of remember that. I never tried it.
My cousin showed it to me randomly, and he was just like, "Have you ever done that?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And it blew my little 5-year-old mind.
That's another thing, like, but what we kind of already talked about, like, hit on, is, like, anytime you wanted to find something like that, it always had to be hearsay from somebody else.
From somebody, yeah.
Yeah, like, do you know that you could do this? Like the old A, B, A, B, up, down, up, down, like, all of those, all those secret codes, like, you had to hear from somebody, and then you learned it, and then you passed it on.
Yeah, like the first Sonic the Hedgehog, there's a start, like, level select code at the beginning. I can't remember what it is at this point, but it's like up, down, left, right, press A and hold C or something. Like, something really strange. And I heard that from my brother, who heard that from who knows where. Or even on, like, Metal Gear Solid on PlayStation, like, playing at my friend's house, he's like, "I heard that you could skip the Metal Gear battle if you just somehow can unplug the power cord from the back." And I'm like, "What?"
And does, like, a time jump.
Yeah, and I'm like, "What?"
So much of what you learn through video games was through other people, because they heard it from somewhere.
Somebody always had that baller-ass cousin who fucking knew everything.
Like, dude, have you tried this? And you're like, holy shit.
He's got all the Nintendo powers, and he reads them all, and he gives me the information.
He plays with power.
Because believe it or not, there was once a time where the internet wasn't around.
I know.
And we had to read stuff.
We remember those times. We're that old.
Yeah, all these cheat codes really helped me, because I was a kid who never had a Game Genie. I never had any, like, cheating game software, anything. I just had to use cheat codes, figure it out.
That's what it was. I mean, Game Genie helped with a lot of things. then went into Game Shark. I mean, I remember Game Shark for like Nintendo 64 a lot. And then that would go into PlayStation. And then Game Shark just like stopped because eventually PS2 didn't really need it, GameCube.
Well, it was more of a all the stuff that, you know, secrets or whatever could be accessed on a disc versus a cartridge, which, you know, the storage capacity of a disc is infinite compared to a cartridge. Yep.
Well, and then eventually you'd start seeing, you know, walkthrough, like, manuals or, you know, magazines that you had to buy, and then eventually the internet started taking over, and it's like, well, I could just look at the walkthrough online rather than buy, you know, you'd go to a GameStop and buy your game, and then there would be the walkthrough of the game you're buying, and you're like...
They still have those. Misty has one for Skyrim, and it's a novel.
Really?
Yeah.
They still have strategy guides.
I've never bought those. I've never bought one. I've, like, looked through it.
I have one for Ocarina of Time. I think that's the last one I actually bought. And that was about three magazines, basically, in terms of thickness and pages.
Sure.
I think Still at My Parents' House is actually the official strategy guide for Link to the Past.
Ooh.
It's kind of, like, kind of messed up. Like, it's not, like, main condition or anything, but... I think it's still there.
I'm gonna help you for a while. Oh wait, you already played and beat it, so I guess it doesn't matter. But
oh no, I still. What's funny is that you don't play these games for a while, and you just still remember stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, like playing Super Mario World earlier, like with Clark Mirror on Sky. I remember, like, there's a key somewhere. I know where it's at. Where's it at, though?
It's like you went back to different worlds and just like, I think it's here. Just
Searching there was through stuff. There was a key here. I remember in this area. Yep, here it is.
Watch.
I can tell you right now, if I were to hook up my old NES and just play Super Mario Brothers, I know how to skip to, what is it, level 5 or 6. Like, I know how to get up on top of the map, run across, and get down to the...
Go to the warp pipes.
Yeah, I know how to do that. I know how to ride that little elevator thing up and get over there. Like, I still remember shit like that.
I've said it before, but every once in a while, Misty and I will get out her Super Nintendo and play through Super Mario World or, I don't know, Yoshi's Island even. And watching her play, or especially Donkey Kong and Yoshi's Island, and actually even Super Mario World, she gets into like a Rain Man mode where a switch flicks on, right? And she just goes. And it's all, like, just ingrained inside her brain, and it's like watching a machine. It's intriguing to see. But she knows where every little secret thing is, how to get to this warp pipe. Oh, well, if you want to go to the Rainbow Road in Super Mario World, we need to get to here, get this key, and then go to this castle, like, mini castle with ghosts in it. And then if you hit this switch here, but not here, you will unlock this level, which you need to access through getting this key here. And it's incredible to me that the game came out so many decades ago and still just, you know, in an instant right there. And
there it is.
Yep. And that's still there for a lot, like for me, for a lot of NES games, that'll happen. Man, I need to go get that console for my mom's house. It's in her basement.
You're going there today, right?
I am.
There you go. It's fate.
It is fate.
Even like somebody who didn't play a lot of Super Nintendo growing up, I would probably have that same thing with Genesis, where there's these games coming out where...
It's interchangeable.
I'd play, you know, and even like Sonic or... like Phantasy Star or something, I would play and be like, oh yeah, if I do this, oh wait, yeah, if I do this and this, yep, I got it. And then like, yeah, I would basically probably turn into Rain Man as well.
I was just talking to Misty about retro games in general, and there's so, like, we made a list together, and literally, I can go through my head right now, and do you guys ever play Ready to Rumble?
The boxing game?
It was a boxing game, it was on PS1 and N64.
Yes.
It sounds so familiar. I don't remember if I actually played it or not.
The cover of the game is like a dude with a huge afro and then some dude who looks like he could be from Tekken.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was basically coming like Punch-Out, just a little more current at that time, because Punch-Out wasn't going to be relicensed for a while.
Oh, yes, I definitely played this game. Oh, man, I definitely played this game.
And I can just remember literally going level, quote-unquote, level by level, just going through the different people. And I usually played as the guy with the giant afro, just because he had the most power, I think.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, man. Or Gex, for that matter, as well. I don't know if you guys were Gex kids.
I played Gex. My sister was a big Gex person, but I think that was... it never clicked with me. I was more like Spyro or Final Fantasy.
Those were the same. I mean, Spyro especially was like the same vein of gameplay, I guess. Same with Banjo-Kazooie too, but I loved Gex.
There was a game I played that nobody really played often. It was such a rare game, but it was called Pitball for PlayStation 1.
Yeah, I played the shit out of that.
Where you're just monster teams and you would just throw this ball into a hoop, but the hoop was on the wall.
Yep.
And that was, because you could fight and everything, and it was so fun. And even playing, like, Jet Moto.
Oh, God, Jet Moto.
Pitball and Jet Moto were the first two games I ever played on PlayStation. They came with our PlayStation. And I still just remember getting those demo discs from Pizza Hut and playing the shit out of those demo discs. That's where my love of Metal Gear Solid came into, because it was on one of those demo discs, and I loved it, every part of it.
There was a demo disc. Oh God, what was on it? I think it was Tomb Raider for mm-hmm. PlayStation.
Like Tomb Raider 2?
One or two. There's a demo disc for it. But also, what was the fucking... We've talked about it before. I can't remember the name. It was a deathmatch car thing. The clown with the ice cream truck.
Oh, Twisted Metal 2.
Thank you. Twisted Metal. Yeah. Yes. I full on blanked.
Love that game.
There was a Tomb Raider, Twisted Metal on a demo disc, and then for some reason, there was the entire video for Pony from Genuine.
What?
On a disc. I don't know why. None of those things go together.
No.
But I'd go over to my friend's house who had a PlayStation, and we'd play the demo for Twisted Metal together, and then Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, and mm-hmm. then it was just like, watch Pony. I don't know why. But that's how I learned about fucking Genuine. It's through a demo disc.
Oh my God. I miss those demo discs.
Yeah, it was so fun. And it just came with your pizza. And you guys remember on computer, Chex Quest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I still play that.
Oh my God.
Every once in a while. Chex Quest was my fucking jam.
Dude, it was Doom Wolfenstein, but with Chex, and you were killing these aliens.
Yep.
You play it as a piece of cereal. Doom Guy.
No, it was Doom Guy, but his armor was Chex.
Was a piece of Chex, yeah. and you fought slime aliens.
Oh, man. It was genius.
It was so fucking great. And you had, like, you didn't have a gun. They were, like, little zapper TV remotes, basically. But they shot stuff. Oh, I... fucking love that game.
Fuck, I kind of want to go play that right now.
You can. It's on... I think someone made it into a browser game.
Really?
Probably.
You can find it somewhere.
Man, I'd get down on some of that.
Play that, and then Cool Spot. Did you ever play that?
Oh, yeah.
The 7-Up logo.
Oh, yep.
Oh, yes, I did.
For Sega? Uh-huh.
It was on Sega. My friend had it on PC. And if you had it on PC, you could also play, like, a weird checkers-type game with cool spots. It was so weird. Man, I miss the 90s and just random licensing for games.
Side note, I was looking up Pitball just because to remind myself what game that was. And I got a lot of images of that, but then I also got a whole lot of images of Pitbull.
Yes, yeah.
Just mixed in. I was like, okay.
Dolly.
Yeah.
No, but I still, man, I just remember playing the shit out of those Pizza Hut demo discs because I didn't have the games. Like, the first level of Medieval, I played a hundred times, and, oh, man. I still remember playing Metal Gear Solid, and you beat it first, and you had the decision of to save Meryl, or to give up to torture, or fight torture, which, to me, I had to get my dad to do the torture scene, because I couldn't press circle fast enough, because I was a weak-ass, bitch, and so my dad had to do those parts for me, and once I was like, I'll give up, and then, like, you either got the stealth camouflage, or the unlimited ammo bandana, so I got both of them, like, alright, cool, and then I played again, and all of a sudden, Solid Snake's in a tuxedo, the third playthrough, I'm like, what? I had to play it again.
Yeah, you know? What's happening?
It's just little shit like that I loved, and, oh man, even the first time I ever played Final Fantasy VII, I watched my dad play it, and my dad's the kind of guy who, when he gives you the option to name your characters, he's going to name them Dick, Queef, Asshole, and everything. And I still remember playing it, and I couldn't beat it. I could never beat the game. I would always play it, but I could never beat Sephiroth at the end.
He was a tough motherfucker.
He was. So I'd always keep playing it over and over. And I remember once we went to Barnes & Noble, you know, me and my brother and stuff, and we bought a strategy guide for Final Fantasy VII. I'm like, I'm going to beat this goddamn game. And, man, my brother took, because in the strategy guide, it had the character introductions. Like, it talked about every character in there, right? Their biography and everything. And my brother actually took on my notebooks for school, and he drew every character in Final Fantasy VII on my notebooks, like, super good. Like, my brother is a good artist.
He made our logo.
Mm-hmm. He did. And I remember it was so awesome. Like, I went to school, brought it, you know, like, nobody knew who they were, really. So, like, who is this? I'm like, oh, it's from a video game. And I remember some girl on my bus, you know, she was looking at it, and then she's like, I want to write on here. I'm just going to erase it. And I wasn't paying attention. I look over, she's erasing it. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And getting so pissed off at her. She's like, what? And I was like,
how dare you?
Bitch, listen. Don't do this.
Dude, I just remember, I love Final Fantasy VII. I just started having Katie play it on her PS4, because I owned it for, I had bought, it was like $10, I think. Mm-hmm. So she started playing it on mine, so she started naming the people at the beginning, and she started with Tom Hanks. Yep. And then The Rock, and I was like, this is gonna be an interesting game for you. And then I think she just gave up, because I don't know if she cared. I don't think she cared for that play style.
Oh,
I remember spending so much time trying to get a gold chocobo in that game.
Oh yeah,
I spent
the right ones.
I spent more time doing that than beating Sephiroth.
Well, you had to get the gold chocobo, because then you had to get Knights of the Round, and then you had to beat Ruby Weapon and Emerald Weapon underwater, but then you had to get the underwater materia so that you can breathe underwater, and holy shit, yeah.
You finally get control of the ship at the end, and you're like, oh, this would have been so much nicer earlier on in the game.
Fuck you, Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I've spent so many,
making us do that.
90 hours into this game, just let me win. But still one of my greatest gaming achievements is beating that game. I love that game so much.
I think one of mine...
That was the first game I ever streamed.
Really? I think Final Fantasy-wise, I think mine is beating Final Fantasy VIII. I believe VIII is very underrated, underappreciated of the Final Fantasies.
It's not the big one, but if you like Japanese RPGs, usually people go to VIII.
It's so customizable in what you can do. If you do things right, you can make your character so goddamn strong at the beginning. And it really helps you out through the whole game. But you really have to work your ass off, because you can't just go buy weapons. Like, you have to find materials to make your weapons. But
see, I never played Final Fantasy VIII, so I don't even know what it looks like.
The story, the gameplay, the music, it's just...
Fantastic. Can tell you what I can tell you what it looks like. A slightly better Final Fantasy VII.
Essentially.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But
man, gotta respect the grind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Getting that kind of stuff, because my God.
That's how all those old games were, though. It was just a grind to the end. And then once you beat it, it was one of the best accomplishments you'd ever have, is just beating one of these games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's just so much hard work you put into it. And
oh, yes.
Getting, you know, yeah. And that makes me, like, I plan on purchasing Final Fantasy IX, because that was re-released on PS4.
Was it?
And that's, yeah. And that's still one of my favorite games. You know, I remember getting that Christmas morning when I was, like, 13. Whatever year it came out, that I got that Christmas morning. And I just remember playing it, like, just sitting Indian style, you know, legs crossed in front of my TV, like, yeah, yes. Chris, food's ready. No, it can wait.
Not right now.
Busy.
Okay. Important question.
Mm-hmm.
Killer Instinct or Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
But maybe that's just because I played a whole lot more of Mortal Kombat than Killer Instinct.
Yeah, I didn't have a... I don't think Killer Instinct came out for Sega, did it?
Eventually.
But yeah, it was all Mortal Kombat 3 Ultimate Edition for me. On Sega.
When I was in... I wasn't allowed to have Mortal Kombat or Killer Instinct for that matter.
Because the blood.
Because the blood. And also I had a 64, so there wouldn't have been blood anyway. But if I was in an arcade, probably 9 times out of 10, it'd be Mortal Kombat. But I think Killer Instinct is greatly underappreciated, and it's fantastic.
Definitely. I think when I was... generally in an arcade, I would go for Killer Instinct just because that's where I mainly played that game. But that's just because I had a Sega and could just play Mortal Kombat on my Genesis. So, I don't know. After a while, I kind of grew out of those side-scrolling fighting games. So,
I have Mortal Kombat 10. And it's really good, actually.
It's fantastic. I agree with that.
I can only play it so much. Also, never play it online.
It's terrible online, yeah. I had friends, when it first came out, I bought Mortal Kombat 10. And I'd play it with friends online. And I would do, like, the brutalities and not even know how I did it. Like, Goro. And I was like, I went to go do, like, a final punch or, like, their final blow to kill him. And it did a brutality. I was like, I don't know how I did that, but I kicked your ass.
So fuck off.
But anytime I went to arcade, man, I didn't care about the fighting games or anything. I was going to play that Jurassic Park car game.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good choice. I always did the X-Men beat 'em up.
Oh, God, yes. X-Men arcade was so fun.
And just be Nightcrawler and teleport everywhere.
But what's really interesting is that a lot of these games we've already talked about have had some sort of...
remake?
Well, not only a remake, but this year is like a big anniversary for many of these games, which is insane to me.
What? Because what? Metal Gear is... the original one is, what, 30?
The original one is 30 years old this year. Final Fantasy VII is 20 years old this year.
Jesus.
How old is Chex Quest?
Yeah. Oh, that we'd have to look up. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you had to ask, and I have it sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out in 1996. So our baby boy is 21.
Wow. Oh, wow. Man. That came out before Mario Kart 64.
Oh, my God.
That's 20 years old.
This shit just brought up, like, people also search for when searching Chex Quest is Heretic and Hexen. Fuck.
Oh, I remember that game.
Mm-hmm.
Those games are so weird, but good. But no, like, going on what Dustin said, there's a lot of anniversaries, you know, the big ones, you know, coming out, like Punch-Out's the 30, Mass Effect, the first one, is 10.
10 years old.
10 years old?
It's a decade.
You know, well, and then we were talking about, like, games that came out 10 years ago in the same month. It's like, holy shit. So this is what happened in November 10 years ago. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, Super Mario Galaxy, Crysis, Assassin's Creed, Mass Effect, and Uncharted Drake's Fortune, the first one. All in 1 month did those games come out.
Jesus.
I don't know how I survived that month of gaming. I don't know how I did. I know I was playing a lot of Call of Duty, but I was also playing a lot of Mass Effect and Assassin's Creed, so I don't know what I was doing with my life at that point.
I was very cash poor at that time, so I didn't even really... I couldn't even buy games that much. So I bought Mass Effect. That was about the only one out of those.
I remember I didn't play Super Mario Galaxy. I've only played a little bit of that, but I do remember Call of Duty 4 taking up a lot of my time. I remember Mass Effect because you couldn't... It's either Xbox or PC. I think it was actually just PC.
I played mine on the 360.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so it might have been Xbox too then, okay. Mm-hmm. So I remember playing that on the PC, and I definitely remember playing Uncharted.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do Uncharted. One of my friends had Call of Duty 4. I almost just naturally said Call of Duters.
Call of Duters.
So I played that with him a lot, and that was fun. I wasn't into Uncharted at the time. About the only thing I had was Mass Effect. My nephew had Super Mario Galaxy, which I played at, you know, when I'd either house sit or visit my sister's house. And that was a lot of fun. But I never owned it because I didn't even have a Wii. So.
Can we bring up the 25th anniversary of probably one of the most underrated games ever made?
Sure.
Echo the Dolphin.
I don't think that game's underrated. I think, no joke, that is literally one of the top three hardest, most difficult games I have ever played in my entire life.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt, you're just a dolphin, and like you would just be underwater in a cave and just being like, I cannot get out of this cave. What is going on?
It just starts you in that, like, lagoon, and you're like, what the fuck do I do?
And it's like, just go.
Go be a dolphin.
I still remember, like, you have to, like, jump up high in the air to start, basically just start the game.
And I couldn't do that.
Nope.
Because you had to, like, have the mechanics down perfectly.
Well, and think about also 30 years ago, that same month in December, Mega Man, the original Final Fantasy, and then Phantasy Star, all released.
Two of my favorite RPG series came out at the same time.
They all came out within 3 days of each other.
Oh, Jesus. My God.
All debuted 3 days apart.
Final Fantasy took over Phantasy Star, but Phantasy Star has a loyal following.
It for still sure. Does. But they're still making Final Fantasy games 30 sure. years later.
Is sure. that a dig? Is that a dig at Phantasy Star, Dustin?
No. It's also not a dig at Mega Man. I'm just saying, that's insane to me.
No, I never really got into Final Fantasies, you know, in Nintendo, but you know, 7 was the first one I played. But Phantasy Star will always have a place in my heart because watching my dad play it when I was younger, specifically the second one and the third one, and there's always my dad will always do a dad joke. In regards to this, if you've ever played Phantasy Star 2, there's a character named Nee in Phantasy Star, who's a robot, a cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a clone of her called Nee First. So anytime that I ever talked about, like, oh, I hurt my knee or anything, my dad would be like, okay, but what about Nee First? And I'm like, fucking dad jokes over
Fuck
here.
Fuck you, dad.
Fucking super dad jokes.
Fuck He's, you, man.
He still does that to this day.
Oh.
Sonic the Hedgehog 2 came out 25 years ago.
Oh.
I love it.
Punch-Out 30 years ago. The original Mortal Kombat 25 years ago. This is a weird...
One of my favorite jokes that wasn't intentional. I was watching someone play Dark Souls 2. There is an area you get to, which is essentially a lava world, more or less. And the first time, like, you walk into the area, like, you get a, you know, wide shot vista of all this lava and stuff exploding. And the person was just like, what the fuck is this place? And the guy he was playing with just like, I don't know, but it looks like Ed Boon's backyard.
All the fucking gravy stones and everything.
Ed Boon is a treasure.
Yes.
Misty got to meet him one time.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Well, she was a manager for GameStop, and she went to a GameStop conference. Yeah. And Ed Boon was there, and so she got to meet him and hang out with him for a little bit. Totally envied her.
Godfather of fighting games.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Mm. But we won't talk about the 20th anniversary of Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero.
No, we can we can just skirt past that one easily.
Wolfenstein 3D, 25 years ago.
Jesus.
Just there's so many games that are like Double Dragon 30 years ago.
Double the fuck Dragon.
I fucking loved Double Dragon.
I would go to Family Video or Video
and rent that movie.
No, I was gonna say rent Double Dragon, the game.
Oh, okay. I was like, at least the game and not the movie that came from that game.
I think I rented the movie once, and that was enough. Which, oddly enough, the commissioner chairman guy for the new, Iron Chef America is from Double Dragon, by the way.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, he is, isn't he?
Yep.
Wow.
Don't watch the movie, people.
No, it's bad.
Or watch it once and just...
Yeah.
Marvel.
You can. I don't recommend it. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do it if I were you. But hey, to each their own. But I don't know. I would rent the game all the time.
Most definitely.
Love that game. Either of you ever play Bayou Billy?
No.
No.
It was I don't think it was on Genesis. It was for NES, for sure. Think of Crocodile Dundee with a different name, obviously, and like a weird side-scrolling beat 'em up, but you could have whips and you'd have to watch out for like animals, and there were random driving levels. It was totally weird, and you're just trying to rescue a princess, more or less. It was some chick that was like half clothed.
Oh yeah.
And some like mafia, Australian mafia like leader kidnapped your girl and you had to go rescue her. That was all it was. But for some reason I had that game. I don't know why, and I don't know where it came from, but I played the shit out of it.
Yeah, but then you start saying like half naked chicks and like whips. I'm like, yeah, I just, that feels like most old Nintendo and Super Nintendo games. They always had whips and the women were always half naked for some reason.
And needed to be rescued.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why I played, you know, Cruisin' USA.
was for the terribly imported JPEG image of some girl holding a sign.
If you could make it back to the finish line in time, otherwise it would just pause with them all dancing next to you.
That's why I did it.
It's not a bad reason to play that game.
There are worse reasons.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Clark said it earlier, but those are just fun times, you know, being a kid, playing Sega Genesis or PlayStation, and, oh man, great.
The more I think about it, the more I'm really contemplating getting the Sega Genesis. What was it, the Flashback is what it's called?
I think so.
I might.
That's a good way to segue to Tweet Corner.
Actually. Oh yeah.
Yeah, let's go to Tweet Corner, because that will tie in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, let's do it.
Tweet Corner. Do. We'll have to make a song.
We keep saying that.
You know, we could find a song, I'm sure.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as Clark said, that's a good segue into Tweet Corner, because our friend Brad gave us a question, Brad Seff on Twitter. Are y'all as excited about Sega Genesis Flashback as you were the Super Nintendo Classic? And I think so, maybe, because there's a lot of games in there that are more retro, more for me, because of my childhood, that I would be more excited for.
Having never owned a Genesis, it's definitely intriguing to me. I don't know if it's a pre-order, but that might be something I dabble in down the road.
I'm Chris and I apparently grew up very similarly with our gaming style. So having not owned a Super SNES as a kid, that one really didn't pertain to me as much. But with getting a Sega Genesis just to play Shining Force again on a Sega, it just, I don't know. It's really been weighing on me since we originally talked about it to just go back and play the original Sonic the Hedgehog and play all these games that I miss from playing my original Sega. So I honestly think this is the first one that I've actually been somewhat excited to play. I don't know. I just haven't. The original NES didn't really, you know, when that came out, I was like, yeah, I don't know. I still own my NES, so I could just go play it. But, like, I don't know. The only thing that gives me pause is the issues I've been talking about with, you know, lining the controller up and stuff.
For the Genesis?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, some of those issues opposed to, like, hearing Chris talk about the, you know, his SNES, like I contemplated just going and trying to get one, like, oh, you know, maybe I could maybe check that out for the $80, but I don't know if I could still get one. But
I've had some friends that were able to buy them at GameStops locally.
They made way more of the SNES classics, so they're more readily available.
So I don't know, I just know it's because of my childhood that I am more excited about the Sega Genesis, but I feel like the Super SNES is way better built. I just have a feeling it was just...
That is the consensus. However, what I've been reading is that the wireless controllers that come with the Sega Genesis are garbage. They really are. However, if you could buy a Sega Genesis controller, it still works.
Really?
It has the plugins for it.
I'm pretty sure you can just buy those on Amazon.
Yeah. And with the price point of... It's $70 for the Sega Genesis console. And while it does market it to, say, 85 games, it is misleading. We have talked about this in a previous episode. Not all of them are Sega Genesis. You do have some Game Gear ones. You do have some Genesis ones and some Sega Master System. But then there's the stupid-ass ones that come with it for some reason. You know?
Yeah. And, I mean, just looking at the Super SNES, like, looking at that list of games that you have, it's just a better lineup of games.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
They don't have Mr. Balls.
They don't have Fish Tank Live.
But, like, there are a few games on the Sega, like Shining Force, that I would play the absolute shit out of.
It has its standouts.
So again, we can go through... Let's go through the list real quick. Just some key points of Sega Genesis games that come with this. Mm-hmm. So, Altered Beast, Comic Zone, Golden Axe 1, 2, and 3, Kid Chameleon, Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3, every Phantasy Star game, Shining Force, Shining Force 2, all the Sonics, Vector Man, Vector Man 2, Restar, which was an actual fun game, kind of kiddie, but it was fun. Fantasy Zone for this is Sega Master System, and Alex Kidd for Sega Master System, which are some solid retro games. So I mean, the lineup really isn't that bad for the price point.
No, and that's the thing where they're like, you know, you're gonna get all these games, and it's like, well, basically the ones you just listed are the ones that I would play. None of this other garbage. So really, what is that, 20
and
25 games?
Yeah, and they really made a point, and this could be a licensing issue, but they're like, man, they're missing some really key games in here that could have been a huge selling point. You know, like Toe Jam and Earl, Streets of Rage games, Aladdin, Castlevania Bloodlines, Gunstar Heroes, Earthworm Jim. I mean, there are, but you could say the same thing about the Super Nintendo. You know, Chrono Trigger, Super Star Wars. You know, they're going to be missing some.
Yeah, I just feel like there's less of those with the Super SNES. Like, I don't know. It just feels like Nintendo... I mean, granted, who made this for Sega?
at games.
Yeah, so Nintendo had control over what they were going to release and produce, and you can definitely see.
I think people would be more excited for it if it was made by... It could have the same game lineup, but made by Sega.
Right.
And I think people would be like, hell yeah. But because it's a third-party company, you know...
It gives you some pause.
It does.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that, you know? I think I'm still more excited about Sega, but, you know...
I can see myself buying the Sega one because of some of the games that are on there that were freaking great. And I would be able to play them again, like how they should be played. Because, yes, I know I could get a Raspberry Pi, I could get a ROM and everything. However, I'm still not playing the game as it's meant to be played. Like, I'm using save states and all this stuff. You
exactly.
know?
I'll tell you right now, after it was a couple episodes ago when we talked about this originally, I downloaded the Shining Force ROM and started playing it on my computer, and I honestly felt the same way what you just described. Like, I played it for a little bit, and I was like, God, this just doesn't feel right. It's just, yep. Like, I just doesn't feel like it should on my keyboard. So, like, man, I just kind of want to sit down with a Sega and a TV and just play it.
Yeah, I'm more likely to buy the Sega one. Just because I never had one as a kid, and mm-hmm. there is a lot of good stuff on there. So,
well, and plus some of those games that are coming out that are on what you have with your retro SNES system is, like, we talked about, like, they're re-releasing some of those on the PS4.
Yeah.
So I can technically just kind of get it for the PS4. So I'm interested to do that. So I'm not going to buy both, but I'm probably going to buy the Sega.
Yeah,
Chris is going to own both. We all know it. It's so
there's a good chance.
So you just have to be the guy that's like, yeah, I love them both. So
I do. I think the Sonic games, and let alone just the Phantasy Star games, are enough for me to dive in and be like, yes, because they're fantastic, and it's going to give me those. It's going to give me those good feels, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Brad, I want to know if you are going to buy...
He got the mini SNES, so...
Yeah, I want to know if he's going to buy the Sega Genesis Flashback.
Let us know.
Yeah, let's all play together.
All right, I think we got another one too, don't we? Another...
We do.
Corner question. Both of C's. Mm.
This other question's going to have nothing to do with our retro gaming
no, but
episode, but I am interested in answering this question.
I still want to talk about it a little bit.
Yes.
So Josh Clovercrest on Twitter asks us, do you think that every scene in the Last Jedi trailer is actually in the movie, unmodified? Rogue One had some trailer trickery.
Yeah, what's funny about this is that as soon as we watched that trailer... I believe we were waiting to do the Nightfall on Destiny 2. We were waiting for Chris, for you to finish doing something. And Adam and I were talking about the same exact thing. And we both thought that trailer was heavily modified.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. It's definitely edited.
Like most trailers, but like...
It's a pretty good trailer. I'm not gonna lie.
It's a great trailer. I enjoyed it.
I don't think we're going to have stuff play out like the trailer leads you to believe.
No. Not even... no way.
It would surprise me if it did.
If it does play out that way, it's now officially a horrible trailer that gave away way too much of that movie.
Well, I think, similar to the Rogue One trailer, this one has a lot of things that do lead you in a certain path.
Yeah.
And what could happen... Like, it's making you think that Kylo is going to kill General Leia. It thinks that Rey is going to go to the dark side and that Kylo's mm-hmm. going to be her mentor. It thinks that Luke is going to abandon Rey, you know, because he's scared of her, etc., you know? And I don't think it's going to be that way. No. I like how recent trailers have been, you know, with example of this one. And also, like, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 trailer, you had no idea what really was going on, but it looked great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be very similar with the Last Jedi trailer. It's just pieced together so well that it's making you think what it's going to be, and it's going to blow your mind when you watch it, because it's going to be like, why? I didn't think this was going to be that way.
It's intentionally misleading everybody, which is good, because you don't want to give away the movie.
It's still, I'm still contemplating, like, the more, for some of these movies that I'm really looking forward to. I've been, especially with, like, Infinity War, like, I still have yet to see a single trailer for that, and I'm refusing to do so.
Well, there's nothing out for it.
Yeah, not officially.
No, but, like, when the trailer comes out, I'm not going to watch it. You're out of your damn mind.
I'm watching it right away.
I want it to be fresh. I don't want anything spoiled.
Here's what's going to happen. Chris and I are going to watch it, and we're going to talk about it so much and how good it is. You were going to end up watching it.
Yeah, I'm going to peer pressure the fuck out of you. You know my trailer.
You guys know my willpower.
I know, exactly. That's why I'm saying you're going to watch it eventually.
Damn you. That actually kind of reminds me, have either of you seen the trailer for The New Mutants?
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
It looks like a horror movie.
Right?
It looks so cool. It's so interesting.
I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, it's interesting to see a Marvel X-Men New Mutants movie that looks like it might be a horror movie.
It's like a horror thriller.
It's insane. And it looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
What's her face from Game of Thrones is in it, too.
Maisie Williams.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
You have to. It's so interesting to watch a Marvel New Mutants trailer like that looks like that.
Well, speaking of Marvel, like, I guess Inhumans has already basically flopped from what I read the show. It? I mean, that's what I read an article on. That's like, yeah, it's not living up to their expectations. And I'm like, well,
that was fast.
I'm not pumped for it. I could care less about the Inhumans, honestly.
Yeah, same here.
To be honest with you, I never watched the show. I'm becoming to learn that most of these Marvel shows have started to fall off pretty fast.
I mean, Daredevil, the two seasons were good. I liked Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. I never watched Iron Fist.
That's Iron Fist. Yeah, but Iron Fist is horrible.
Yeah, Iron Fist is not good.
And I'm maybe six episodes into The Defenders, and I just got bored.
Inhumans has an 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, there you go.
That also kind of reminds me, I was just looking it up this morning, but the new Flatliners movie is a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oof. Jesus.
Wow.
Is that even? I didn't even know that was even possible. I still remember the original Flatliners movie. I don't remember it being great, but I don't see why they had to make a remake of it, but
no, that's because that's Hollywood, man.
Anyway, bring full circle. I think no, I don't think the movie's gonna play out like the Last Jedi trailer makes it seem it will.
It can't. It just can't play out like the way they showed it.
But we'll see in December.
Yeah, that's a movie that I am going to pre-order tickets. We can all go, because I want to see it with you guys. I'm not gonna go by myself.
I'm not an opening night person. I'll see it probably, but I'm more of like that. The last two Star Wars movies that's come out, Force Awakens and Rogue One, I've gone that Saturday morning afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty good.
I'm more apt to do that.
Yeah, I think with Episode 7, I went. I don't think it was opening night, but it was like that Friday night, so it was. Was that the second opening night, whatever, the night after?
The release. Because
it comes out Thursday. Yeah. So I did that, I remember, and it wasn't too bad. It was packed.
Well, but it was also a giant snowstorm that day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We were joking about that, not doing that again for this movie. And I think I ended up going with Adam, you and Misty, was it the next weekend? And I swear to God, that Saturday morning was even busier for some reason. But
well, it was all that was at 16 versus I think you guys went to 14, didn't you?
Yeah, we went to 14. So
different movie theaters in our area.
Different movie theaters, smaller technically, and it's 16 has always been crazy busy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
but
I'm down. Yeah, I mean, I'm down to go and see it, you know, for sure.
Yeah, I'd go see it on a Saturday morning with you guys.
We'll figure it out. But I think that is going to do it for us.
Yeah, it was a lovely, lovely retro episode. All these games.
Chat down memory lane.
Oh man, I just
yes.
all of this made me feel incredibly old. Mm-hmm. But I really want to go play a lot of these games.
You should.
You can. Well, you know what? I can, because that's Super Nintendo Classic right there, guys.
As usual, we end every episode with a shower thought from Reddit, because
yes.
The lulz. This one, in particular, comes from user Giovisha. I'm just going to say it's that. Without the laugh track, Everybody Loves Raymond is a depressing TV show of family emotional abuse.
It is. You're 100% right.
So that's going to do it for us today. That was episode 10 of Come Get Your Podcast. Send us your questions on Twitter at CGY Podcast or Facebook, which is, you can also find us at CGY Podcast there. You can find our personal accounts if you want to follow us and our random bullshit that we talk about. And you can find me at thatadamguy9787.
I am at DusterRhymes42.
And I am at Myron. And I think it's important to know that we have now have our Instagram going.
Oh, yes. At CGY Podcast there as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
At CGY Podcast on Instagram.
Follow us. Like us on Twitter. That doesn't make sense. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play or at Podbean. And leave a rating. Be nice. We love to read.
Sometimes.
Most times. But thank you all for listening. And we'll see you guys later.
All right, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Love you.